Brady's words, taken from the Mystical City of God, Incarnation, Book 1, Chapter 17. Our Lady tells us to pray that we would grow in knowledge and wonder of the greatness of a soul that is in sanctifying grace.
My daughter, in order that thy heart may be ever more and more inflamed with the desire of gaining the grace and friendship of God, I wish very much that thou grow in the knowledge of the dignity, excellence, and happiness of a soul that has been endowed with this privilege. However, remember that it is so admirable and of so great a value that thou canst not comprehend it, even if I would explain it to thee. And much less canst thou express it in words. Look upon the Lord and contemplate him by means of the divine light which thou receivest, and then thou wilt understand that the Lord performs a greater work in justifying a soul than in having created all the orbs of heaven and the whole earth with all the beauty and perfection contained within them. And if on account of the wonders which creatures are able in part to perceive in these works by the senses, they are impressed with the greatness and power of God, what would they say and think that they could see with the eyes of their soul the preciousness and beauty of grace in so many creatures who are capable of receiving them? There are no terms of human language equal to the task of expressing what participations and perfections of God are contained in sanctifying grace. It is little to say that it is more pure and spotless than the snow, more refulgent than the sun, more precious than gold or precious stones, more charming, more amiable and pleasing than all the most delightful feasts and entertainments, and more beautiful than all that is in entirety can be imagined or desired by the creatures. Take notice also of the ugliness of sin, in order that by the opposite thou mayest come to so much the better understanding of the beauty of grace. For neither darknesses, nor rottenness, nor the most horrible, the most dreadful, nor the foulest of creatures, can ever be compared to sin and to its ugliness. The martyrs and saints understood much of this mystery, who in order to secure the beauty of grace and preserve themselves from the ruin of sin, did not fear fire, nor wild beasts, nor the sword, nor torment, nor prisons, ignominies, pains, afflictions, nor death itself, nor prolonged and perpetual suffering. For to escape all these must be counted for little or nothing, and must scarcely be thought of in comparison with one degree of grace, which souls may attain, even though they must be the most subject of the whole world. All this the men, who esteem and seek after the fugitive and apparent beauty of creatures, are ignorant of, and whatever does not present to them this deceitful beauty, is for them vile and contemptible. Thou perceivest therefore something of the greatness of the blessing, which the incarnate Word conferred upon his precursor in the womb of his mother, and because Saint John recognized it, he leapt for joy with exultation in the womb of his mother. Thou wilt also see what thou thyself must do and suffer in order to attain this happiness, and in order not to lose or in the least impair this most precious beauty by any fault, nor retard its consummation by any imperfection, no matter how small. I wish that in imitation of my cousin Elizabeth, thou do not enter into any friendship with any human creatures, except those with whom thou canst and shouldst converse about the works of the Most High and of his mysteries, and with whom thou canst learn to pursue the true path of his divine pleasure. Although thou art engaged in important undertakings and works, do not forget or omit thy spiritual exercises and the strictness of a perfect life, for this must not only be preserved and watched over when all things go smoothly, but also under the greatest adversity, difficulty, and labor. For imperfect human nature takes occasion of the slightest circumstance to relax its vigilance.